It is time to don your best thinking cap now. You can add some robes in if you like. Lawyer Stephanie Fould is here with It's the Law. Hello, Stephanie.
Hi, Susan.
We got an overview of the Swiss social security system last week, the protection the system offers all of us, the expensive protection it offers all of us. We stopped at pillar one, and this time you're going to tell us about the second and third pillars of the social security system. Take it away.
Yeah, keep on spending some money on the second and third pillar system.
It's now, that important, isn't it?
Yeah, it is important. The second pillar has for a purpose to allow the person who is retired to keep his level of life up to 60% of what he was used to earn while he was active. So the whole idea is that you save money, you constitute a little capital for your old age, but you have to do it.
It's obligatory.
It's compulsory, definitely, and everyone has to do it, and everyone is doing it for the next generation.
And that's what sets this country apart from others in Europe, because it's not compulsory. You're not obliged in other countries to put this little nest egg away, are you?
Exactly. This country you are, and actually Switzerland has been used as an example for a lot of European countries who had problems with their old age pensioners to take the same system up. But we will see that there are some problems in Switzerland, in particular in reason of the fact that the population is aging.
Yes.
And we don't have enough contributors to it.
Now, that's the demographic reality that's dogging the world at large, isn't it? So tell me about the second pillar. When did it come into force, etc.?
Well, the second pillar came into force in 1985. It became compulsory by law. And the idea is that you have to contribute and your employer will contribute as well. The employer is affiliated to an institution and this institution sets a certain number of rules which are very technical. I'm not going to go into those, but the idea is that you and your employer contribute by half. Usually the contribution is between 5% and 8% of your monthly salary.
And so is there any sort of threshold salary level?
A minimum.
You have to
earn a minimum. You have to earn at least 20,520 francs a year to have to contribute, and you've got to be older than 18 to contribute. Some people do not have to contribute. I mean, if you are already, for example, 64 or 65 for a man, you don't have to contribute anymore. If you've got short-term contracts or if you're retired or lost your job, then the contributions go down or are non-existent.
Okay, so once you hit retirement age, that's it.
That's it. Then you touch, you benefit from it.
Right.
But you don't contribute any longer, except if you keep on working. Because,
okay.
I mean, there's no obligation that when you hit 64, 65, that you do stop working. If you keep on earning money, then you keep on contributing. So a lower level usually, but you keep on contributing if you keep on working.
And the important thing is it's 50% your contribution, 50% the employer.
Minimum. A lot of employers pay more, but the minimum is that it's the same level of contribution, employer and employee.
And what kind of numbers are we talking about in terms of the contribution?
5% to 8% of your minimal salary. Which is quite a lot. And of course, some employers pay more. So it means it's an important lump sum you can get at the end. The whole idea is that when you do come to old age, pension age, retirement age, I mean, you could either benefit from a pension or from capital sum, which will help you to keep your level of living and standard of living.
And are there any exceptions when it comes to contributions? Any people who don't have to pay?
Yeah, there's some people who do not contribute because they are under the age, don't earn enough, are unemployed, or have very short contracts and do not have to pay in those conditions.
But if you want to volunteer a payment or two?
That you can, of course. An independent can voluntarily pay, and it's recommended that he does, because, I mean, if he doesn't, he would only stay with his 2,280 francs from the first pillar, and that is probably not enough to live in Switzerland.
So even though it's very confusing, this system, it's very important that people get across it quite quickly and really know what their rights are as laid out by their employment contract.
Definitely. And it's very important that they contribute, or at least contribute to themselves if they're independent, to keep themselves from any risk when they become 65 or 64.
What benefits does the occupational benefit plan provide?
Well, typically, I mean, it gives you money for when you're old age, over the age of retirement. It gives you money if you're disabled or if you've lost your parents and you are a young child. It can give you all a pension on a monthly basis, or it can give you a capital benefit. And the last exception to this is in order to finance property, you can sometimes take out your second pillar and purchase a house. So because that they consider as being an investment for old age. So
but you'd have to have been contributing for quite a while and building up quite a hefty second pillar to do this.
Well, it, depends how much you've been contributing, but then you can take a certain percentage of what you've got.
What happens to the contributions people have already paid to an occupational benefit plan if they change jobs or if they lose their employment?
If you're in Switzerland, it will always follow you. I mean, if you change a job in Switzerland, you will leave your first job with your little amount and you'll go to the next job and it will be put in the new institution. If you come from Europe or go to Europe, it is the case, it can follow you as well, but you cannot use it and spend it. That means it stays in the bank account, it's yours, but it will not go into the next bank account, but you cannot take it with you. But if you go to a different country, then you can take it and spend it.
Let's talk about different countries and what happens to contributions paid into a pension scheme abroad.
That stays where it is. It doesn't come over with you, it doesn't follow you. But it means that when you are retirement age, you will benefit from a pension from the abroad country.
So you just tap into that.
Exactly. That means you'll have one from the UK, one from Germany, one from Switzerland, and then you'll just put all that together.
Nobody's policing that and saying, oh, you're getting too much, even
Definitely
though you did
not.
It yourself.
Definitely okay. Not, no.
Now, what happens to the contribution should the person leave this country for good?
If you leave for Europe, you're not allowed to take it in a physical amount. It's yours, but it stays in Switzerland, and you will be able to touch it when you get to the age required. If you leave for the US, for example, you will be allowed to take the lump sum with you.
Okay, let's move on now to the third pillar.
Well, third pillar is actually just a way of saving money and making sure that you can keep up your high level of living for the rest of your days. It's a sort of forced saving process.
Forced saving, but obligatory?
Well, it's not obligatory, no. It's ruled in certain cases. There's some different types of technical rules going with the third pillar, which you can use. But a lot of people just decide to have a bank account and save on the third pillar for their own will and during their own rules, with their own new rules.
So really, then, it's not compulsory?
It's not compulsory. That one's not compulsory as such. There's a way of doing it which could be compulsory or ruled by law, but you do not have to do it in the same way as the first pillar and the second pillar.
And the system, you say, faces a lot of challenges in the near future.
Of course, I mean, because nowadays we have 4,000 people who are over the age of 99. In 2050, we will have 30,000 people over the age of 99. That means we will not have any more enough active people to be contributing for the old age pensioners. And with the life going longer and longer, the contribution will have to go for longer and longer, and probably there won't be enough money. So probably the whole system has to be reviewed at one point because of the ageing population.
This is happening on an urgent basis in every country, isn't it? In pretty much across the developed world. Now, next week, Stephanie, we're going to be looking at, and that will start another set of two shows, employment relationships. What's the first show going to be about?
The idea is to have a look at the unfair competition. What happens when you leave your employer? Can you go into a competitor? Can you work for him? In how far can you work for him? What can you do? Can you take clients with you or not?
Okay, the nitty-gritty on that next week. Thanks so much, Stephanie.
Thank you, Susan.
Stephanie Fould is a lawyer with BCCC Attorneys at Law in Geneva. That is, it's the law this time round. If you want to listen again, and you likely do, there's a lot of content there to digest. Head to our program list at worldradio.ch.